please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EM. This man changed the world.
Our bosses couldn't cope with the idea of an 80-year-old Ayatollah, which they didn't even know what an Ayatollah was, who lived on garlic and onions and yogurt, directing a revolution that was about to topple America's most important ally.
ملت ایران ملت معجزه آسای قرن است.
الله اکبر خمینی رهبر. الله اکبر خمینی رهبر.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. In the name of Allah, the exalted, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Salam, hello and welcome to our audience, and particularly a warm welcome to our listeners of our program, The Man Who Changed the World and Is Still Changing It. Once again, we are going to be speaking about the life and times of Imam Khomeini, this great and holy personality who has certainly changed the world forever. And I'm going to, as usual, have an in-depth discussion about this great man's life with Dr. Hassani, who is once again has joined us on this program to discuss this very, very important personality, and I thank him for that. And Dr. Hassani, salam and welcome to the program.
Assalamu alaikum.
Dr. Hassani, we finished off on the point about Ahlul Bayt. I think we were discussing the significance of the belief in this particular hadith that we were talking about in terms of the legacy of the Holy Prophet. And of course, Imam Khomeini, we mentioned before, comes from the holy family of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and he re-emphasized that a very important hadith for the whole Muslim world, that there are two very, very valuable things that we should focus on, and that is the Holy Quran and the Holy Family of the Prophet, and that these two things should be given the importance and priority that they deserve. But to begin with, you know, we have to look at this great personality from the point of view that how does one actually study a great personality like Imam Khomeini? What's the kind of approach that's required in terms of trying to get to grips with such a complicated personality as Imam Khomeini? Because there are many, many dimensions to this holy soul that we have been discussing over the last 10 programs. Because it's not only a kind of one-dimensional personality. This is a multi-dimensional personality. And it's very difficult for, I think, many, many people. I mean, there's a book that has been published on Imam Khomeini, which is a compilation of what people have thought as in terms of expertise in politics, in economics, in religion, whatever it happens to be, in a book called Asr Imam Khomeini, The Era of Imam Khomeini. But to be honest, even going through that book, even when I was looking through that and, you know, translating it from Persian, you know, you find that, you know, simply seem to see one side or one aspect of this multidimensional being. And yet, they don't quite fully grasp what he's done. So, Dr. Hassani, tell us, you know, because you are a researcher, and an academic in the Holy Seminaries of Qom, as well as for the Academia in Tehran. Tell us, how does one actually approach this personality?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
This is a very delicate subject.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to give you
sure.
the most simple example in order how to approach to study such a person like Imam Khomeini, peace be upon him. And by the way, we are going to try.
Mm.
You know, there is no yeah. claim on our side.
Absolutely.
Sure.
I mean, really, yeah, of course. I mean, trying is the word.
In order to understand somebody, you have to know the background of his life.
Sure.
I give it to you simple. Mm. The way that you should study somebody's life, you can look at what kind of claim he has, or she, for that matter.
Right.
What the claim might be, this is the beginning of to enter the gate of studying. You know, in English, the word search and research.
Yeah.
Search is more simpler than research, of course.
Of course it is.
When you lose something, you know, let's suppose you lose your car key.
You're right.
And if you ask your wife, where is that?
Yeah.
The
and
national
she always tells you it's
exactly.
in your pocket.
But to get serious, if it's not in your pocket and you misplace it,
sure.
the natural thing to say is, why don't you look for it?
Yeah.
Why don't you search for it?
Search for it.
But you don't use the word research.
No, you don't.
If you search for it once, if you look for it once, and you still cannot find it, they might say to you, why don't you re-look somewhere else?
Sure.
In order to understand so many different things, different phenomena, if you look at the word itself, it helps you to begin with. Let me give you an example. What Imam Khomeini claimed in his holy life, that 80 some years of his age within us, that was a big claim. I can tell you right away, he had the same claim that Prophet did.
And that, what claim was that?
The claim is that everybody should live according to the rules and laws of the Creator to be a good person.
Right.
For example, in order to study the life, the holy life of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his holy progeny.
Sure.
In order to understand Islam, you have to study his life. In order to understand what kind of background he's coming from, what kind of claim, and that was a big claim, by
yes.
the way.
Yes.
He was Rahmatan lil Alameen.
That's was right, the mercy to
for
mankind.
The entire mankind.
For the whole of mankind, yes.
Not
yes.
just the mankind of his own time,
sure,
but for the rest of creation.
Yes.
For the
and
rest
of course the Holy Prophet had to also validate his prophethood
exactly.
as well, because there were many other monotheistic followers, or Hanifs even, who followed Prophet Abraham, who followed Prophet Moses, for example, or Christianity as Prophet Jesus.
Which is a chain order.
Yeah, chain order.
Of
but
the
they,
same message.
But they said, as far as they were concerned, they turned around and they said to the Holy Prophet, that look, we've been given the last revelation. We have the last claim on this matter. Where do you come into all this?
So, in order to study Islam and the life of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him,
sure.
the first thing comes to your mind, the location, the geography
right.
that he lived in.
Right.
Of course, it was Arabian Peninsula. But in order to look at the bigger picture, you have to study the entire globe at that time.
Yes.
This is something, you know, often we forget or we take for granted.
Yes.
We say it's enough to learn about the new, it wasn't, by the way, it wasn't a new religion. It was the continuation of all the religion that Prophet Abraham was talking about, Prophet Noah, and so on and so
sure,
forth.
Because
it was a completion of...
It was the completion of...
The whole program.
Yeah, whole program.
So one thing comes to mind, you know, during the time of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, the ignorant of the people at the time. For example, they killed their own daughters by their own hand.
Yes.
For whatever the reason. We're not going to get into that.
No.
But my question to you is this,
sure.
Brother Ejaz.
Yes.
Have you ever thought about what people did in China back then?
Yes, I have.
But you have to put everything
because
in perspective.
Because you're right. No, what
you
I'm
talk
saying
about
is
civilization, you talk about the culture
exactly,
here.
Because you know what you're saying is, and it's beautifully put, And that's absolutely right, that, you know, when you think of 7th century,
mm-hmm.
you have to think exactly what the world was like in the 7th century.
Exactly. You have to study Romans at the same time.
Exactly, because, of course, I mean,
Persian, they called them.
Yeah. I mean, in the 7th century, Rome itself as a republic had stood for almost 1,000 years and, you know, had conquered most of the known world at that time.
That is true.
And the thing is that, as you say, we are putting everything in a context. So what you're saying is the beginning of your search is really
By definition. Research is not something just, you know, you do it on surface.
Exactly.
You have to go into a deeper...
And more broader understanding of exactly what's happening.
All different phenomena that you can find.
Exactly.
Okay?
Yeah.
So... Indian, for example, Chinese back
exactly.
then,
yeah.
Persians, mm. Romans, mm-hmm. how about Egyptians?
Yes, one of the oldest standing civilizations in the region.
See, you have to think about the whole thing, the
sure.
whole picture.
Yeah.
Same thing goes with the life of Imam Khomeini, mm. peace be upon him.
Yes, quite.
You have to study not just what was going on inside Iran back
mm.
then,
mm.
okay?
Mm.
Domestically, you have to know
mm.
what kind of mentality people had back then.
Sure.
What kind of... economical situation they were in.
In other words, in terms of understanding how outstanding and how awesome Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi was in terms of what he claimed, but we have to see it in the light of the fact that he's in the face of a very dominant, powerful culture at that
exactly.
time. For which they had no answer.
The position of Iran domestically.
Yeah.
In the regional, in what they call the Middle East,
sure.
and the role of foreigners.
Yes.
American government.
Both in the country and
outside
the country.
Both in the country and outside.
Yeah.
All these different phenomena, different realities on the ground,
mm.
it affects your research.
Of course it does.
And it draws the conclusion differently.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
What kind of economical situation was established in Iran before revolution, and you have to
get me wrong,
you have to go way back
yeah.
at least for 20 years before revolution.
Yes.
What kind of mentality Imam, what kind of background Imam Khomeini was coming from?
Yes.
This is very important in
yeah.
doing research,
yeah.
and you always have to go back again and do the check and balance.
Exactly.
And check it with the references.
Well, I mean, this is the thing that, you know, like as you point out, I mean, there's many references involved here because Imam Khomeini is coming on the back, not only on the back, but also was leading in many ways this very revolutionary change in Iran because, you know, the fact that, you know, he had a referendum right at the beginning, which was outstanding. I mean, nobody expected that a guy who would come out of Hawza, who would come out of the seminaries, would preach a referendum to validate a republic, an Islamic republic.
You have to be as big as the universe itself in order to tackle this kind of problem.
Exactly.
This is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay?
Exactly.
Because we believe,
mm.
you know.
Mm.
By the way, Imam Khomeini lived according to his belief.
Yeah, sorry, but on the background that you had dictatorship in the form of monarchy, where the vote was not heard of, and when the CIA got whiff of the fact that Mossadegh, the prime minister in 1951,
you know,
was going down this road.
It's easy to say that the system was monarchy.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
But for them, they yeah. acted like a pharaoh. They were so big.
Yeah.
I mean, they would call themselves all this king of kings.
Kings, yes.
They called themselves the shadow of God.
Yes, there was also that claim as well.
That made the story different.
Yes.
I mean, for us, after revolution, we're talking about, Brother Ejaz, this is years after revolution, the Islamic revolution we're talking. It's so easy to talk.
Yeah.
But in order to put yourself in that situation, it's very difficult and it takes time. And it takes a struggle in order to understand it.
Yeah.
You know, our claim is this,
mm-hmm.
that Islam is a perfect one,
yeah.
perfect program for humanity,
sure.
the entire globe.
Sure.
So this is a big claim.
Yeah.
And Imam Khomeini, in claiming and believing in this, is no exception.
No.
But the thing is that as a great leader, everything he claimed, he had to have a backup.
Yeah.
A social understanding to begin with.
Yeah.
Okay. After all, Islam is a collective, comprehensive, general. It's a broad religion,
yeah.
which claims that it can take good care of every human
need,
affairs, and needs.
And needs, yes.
And it will.
Yeah.
You have to prove it that.
Where?
Because we have to come up with a social mm-hmm. and economical and political system.
Yeah.
And you know, nowadays...
Well, I mean, to be fair...
You can see the result of it.
To be fair, as you say, that, you know, when you put this into a context, and that's very important in terms of research, and that is what you're saying, that the approach has to be comprehensive. Because if you... it's like, you know, like we're doing modeling, for example. I mean, I come from an engineering background, and of course, if your model lacks...
Which makes a good example.
Yeah. If your model lacks certain assumptions... which don't really fill the parameters of the exact thing that you're trying to analyze, well, the result is going to be pretty
and
skewed.
And you always have, in order to write a good building,
yeah.
you always have to use the plumb line.
Exactly, exactly. But what I'm saying here is that we want to put all the ingredients into our research approach so that we get the right kind of, we take the right kind of, what do you call the result that we really need in terms of understanding the entire approach that this great personality did? Because as you say, the claim is very great. But to be fair, in the context of history, even though, you know, that's very controversial, and many of us who have studied Muslim history in the past come away with a very negative impression of the overall picture of what the Muslim world was like for many, many centuries, but we can't ignore the fact that Islam, even in whatever shape or form it was for many centuries, dominated the entire globe for almost 1,000 years, for which Europe had no answer, even though the Muslim world was broken up into 3 or 4 empires. There was the Empire of Spain, of Andalusia, there was the Empire of the Mughal India, there was the empire of the Safavids in Iran, there was the empire of the Ottomans. So, I mean, although they come in successive chronological order, I mean, we're not saying they're all happening at the same time, but whatever periods of history in which there were fundamental changes, but even though at the end of the day, Europe, whatever modern Europe is now, it couldn't have happened unless Islam was there. So, although we are saying it's a big claim for many, many needs, but it's because there has been a vacuum since the time that these empires collapsed and then Muslims started to fall backwards economically, politically, because Europe started to take over and started to dominate the rest of history until the present day. But in that light, Imam Khomeini is still coming from a context in which Islam still left a very great legacy for the rest of the world to follow.
Big claim deserves big struggle.
Sure.
Okay, the moment you're not claiming anything, so it's so easy for you to deal with whatever. Nobody's going to ask you. Nobody's going to question you. Nobody's going to challenge you.
Yeah.
But the moment you claim something,
yeah.
you have to...
validate it.
You have to validate it. You have to come out of it clean.
Sure.
Okay, in order to finish that introduction that I gave
for
those that
Please
they
do.
Have some problems... You know, we talk about ideology here.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay?
Mm.
Those people, they're coming from different school of thought, whatever, for what different reason. We're not getting into that.
Mm.
It's not going to help us much.
Yeah.
But to those that who claim they always that coming Islam, returning Islam inside the country, the Persia, it's very easy for them to say they call it Arab invasion. Which wasn't the case.
No,
you
it
talk
wasn't.
About if you talk about material, how come a great empire like Persian, like old Persian empire, could collapse in a short period of time?
Mm.
And they claim that Arab soldiers, you know, they came to Iran with sword. So Iranian army back then, they didn't have sword to defend their own country.
Let's put it in some historical context. Here we are talking about...
Because when you do research, you have to do a lot of
studies. We are talking about the time...
You have to do a lot of comparisons.
Exactly.
You have to do a lot of different things.
Well, there's a lot of PhDs that have been written on these, the theses that have been done on this research, but we're talking about...
All of those PhDs doesn't mean please hold a debate.
No.
So they should be able, in order to back whatever they say with
exactly.
with facts.
But the thing is, whatever they've come up with, and this has stunned them, in all honesty, when they have come up with these, and I've seen some of these theses, where they have been absolutely stunned by the extraordinary speed with which the Muslim empire started to expand, because we are talking about, as you quite rightly say, a Persian empire that stood for about three...
What happened? This is a simple question.
Yeah, 3,500 years, right? Taking it to its origin, but it only collapses within the 10-year period of the second caliph, if I can put it that way, within a matter of a year or two. It's extraordinary. How does that happen?
One should ask himself why.
Why? Exactly.
We don't have to give answers to any questions.
No.
I mean, the approach for some people should be differently.
Yeah.
I mean, for as long as you want to stay student, you're not going to grow.
Yeah.
All these different lectures, speeches you go to, all different books you read, which is fine. Mm. You're supposed to do that.
Sure.
But for a second, come out of yourself.
Mm.
This is my claim.
Yeah.
This is my way of approaching things.
Sure.
You have to pause for a second and say, look, I am somebody in this creation too.
Sure.
I can be as big as whoever.
Mm.
I can achieve as much as
whoever.
Somebody else.
Sure.
Did. Okay?
Sure.
There is an Imam Khomeini inside every single of us, because we're going to talk about that claim. That claim is of a genuine one.
Mm.
When you talk about justice, you're not talking about something in vacuum.
No.
You talk about reality on the ground. You
sure.
know, back during Shah's regime,
sure.
we lived it.
Mm.
I felt it. I saw the unjust.
Mm.
Okay? With different talent, good talent, you know, bunch of elite people, if they were not attached to the system, to the monarch system, if, for example, they disputed, they challenged the system of king, which was very difficult,
sure.
they could face torture, they could face imprisonment, they could face to be sent into exile, just like they sent Imam Khomeini to exile.
Sure, sure.
Okay, what did he do? What did he say for the regime, you know, to actually, if you want to describe it, the way that they took Imam from his house in the Qom, it was some kind of kidnapping.
Sure.
How come a civilization, somebody who claims that he can take care of people?
Well, Dr. Husni, I wanted to say here that you're drawing a very, very interesting parallel here, because you already, you're drawing a line here where you're saying that it's that interesting.
And my mission here is to raise questions. So many different of them.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, if you let me finish my point,
please.
That is that there's two interesting parallels you're drawing here. You're drawing about how Iran or the Persian Empire, in the context of the 7th, 8th century, how it quickly was absorbed by Islam, and which was a miracle in itself. And that's something that, as you quite rightly say, is something that, you know, PhDs have been written on. But we are drawing also the fact that the Pahlavi regime in Iran was established for, you know, in a coup d'etat in 1941, the Mohammad Reza Pahlavi that we knew, the one that was...
The role of British behind it.
Yeah, the British and the Americans in the coup.
U.S. administration, yes.
50 years it was established by the great superpowers, the principal superpower being the Americans.
And 50 years is a long way.
A long way where
to
Iran...
To people's hearts.
Exactly. And in Iran... It was established as the policeman of the Gulf.
The gendarme of the region.
With a very, very powerful army, one of the strongest in the region. Even Israel was no match for whatever the Shah was getting at the time. And how did that quickly dissolve the way it did by this great personality? I mean, it draws two very interesting parallels about Iran's history in the face of Islam.
Good question again. If you go look at the history, what kind of situation people were in.
Mm-hmm.
My answer to you is very simple. It all boils down to one thing. And
yes.
The word is dignity.
Ah.
We're talking about reference here. لَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ Quran is talking to us. Anytime you want to study somebody, look or study the ideology behind that
person.
Mentality behind that person.
Person, yes.
You cannot study Imam Khomeini without knowing Quran.
Would
without knowing
Would I be wrong in saying, Dr. Hasni, dignity and faith?
Dignity and faith, they're going together.
Mm.
Okay?
Right.
But dignity is something that if somebody claims, you know, on the surface that, oh, I don't believe in, even if I don't believe in God, but I'm not a beast, I'm not animal, I'm human for God's sake. Then he says, for God's sake. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Unintentionally uses the word.
Word.
Okay?
Because God gave
because
the dignity,
God gave him
the honor and dignity to man.
God gave it to him.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Dignity is not something.
And it's being trampled on by dictatorship.
Exactly. And this is what you see. If you ask me what happened to Egyptian people, why they came to the Tahrir Square to regain their dignity. The dignity that it was kidnapped, it was hijacked.
Hijacked.
It was robbed, I should say.
Robbed, I think is a better word. Yeah.
If you feel that you are abused, okay,
yeah.
If you all feel that you are attacked with every single cell in your entire body, by the way, if you have to talk about this in a deeper and different layer, you have to talk about the definition of human.
Yes.
According to what Islam
says. Yes, that's right, because that's the ideology we're coming from.
Because remember, one of the, we're talking about human problems in general in the last program. And one thing I mentioned that we are trapped into these five senses.
That's right.
But there is something beyond that. Okay.
And this is what this expertise also witnessed to the fact that, you know, beyond whatever intelligence or whatever things were there in place in order to, because let's be honest here. Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayh, was never, ever envisaged by the Americans or the Soviet Union for that matter, that such a person would ever come to power in Iran. They were expecting the Shah to be there forevermore. Amen. So, that, as you quite rightly say, according to that, those materialistic senses and sights, the intelligence went badly wrong.
Brother, when one way of studying one society is to get back to their song.
Get back to the hymn sheet.
Exactly. In West,
and start singing from the same one.
In West, you know as well as I do.
Yeah.
There is a song that says "No respect, no respect," and they repeated it.
Yeah.
And they mean it.
Mm.
When you're talking about dignity, Mr. Ejaz, you're not talking about something in vacuum. You talk about reality on the ground.
Absolutely.
We are different, by definition, from Quranic. If I get a chance to tell you about the reference and talk about it for a few seconds.
Sure. If not now, we'll do it in the next session. Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Because it's very important in order to understand the root cause for people uprising.
Exactly.
For people, if you ask them why you are not satisfied with your situation.
Mm.
Okay. The respect, the dignity, the nobility, brother. In one word, we are different than every. Different creation that the entire universe is based on. We are different in every different aspect. We have so many different dimensions. We have to understand and recognize and study ourselves. We have to get back to the drawing point.
Exactly. Exactly.
We have to talk about this stuff. Otherwise, you don't know the immensity of the claim.
Let's make an attempt at it anyway, because in a program like this, this is what we're trying to do. But what we are saying is, in our concluding remarks in this particular session, is that knowing thyself, which in transcendent philosophy or anything else you may like, we don't need to get complicated about it. But
we need to talk simple.
Simple. But knowing thyself makes you know your creator. And this is something that Imam Khomeini rahmatullah took right to the end of his life, because this is what he was trying to instill in us and to make us wake up to the fact of exactly who we are and what we are. But we'll leave it for this particular moment on this note. But I thank you very much, Dr. Hasni, for this very valuable discussion. Really, I've enjoyed it, and I hope the listeners have enjoyed it too, and I hope you'll join us again on another session of The Man Who Changed the World. Thank you very much for listening. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and mercy and blessings of Allah be upon you all.
blessed birthday of the munificent lady. In the name of God, the all-merciful, the all-compassionate. Salam, dear listeners, and heartiest felicitations to you on a very special day. Iran and the Iranian people are celebrating the Daughter's Day today in honor of one of the most virtuous daughters of Eve, the mother of mankind, but, of course, with full observation of the social distancing and other hygienic measures advised by medics and health experts in view of the coronavirus pandemic. She is none other than our Blessed Lady of Qom, Hazrat Fatima, peace upon her, the daughter of Imam Musa Kazem, peace upon him, the seventh infallible successor of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. She was born in the Prophet's city, Medina, in 173 AH, corresponding to 789 AD, on the first of the month of Dhul-Qa'dah, to Lady Najme, peace upon her, the mother of her consanguineous eldest brother, Imam Reza, peace upon him. This means divine providence had chosen for her mother the mother of an infallible Imam, which is indeed a highest honor, since the mothers of the infallibles are ladies of impeccable faith and piety, with no infidel or wayward person among their ancestors. Known popularly as Ma'sume or the Innocent, the holy shrine of the lady whose birthday we are celebrating today reposes in eternal peace in the city of Qom, which today is the center of a spreading of Islamic teachings worldwide. Qom is the second most blessed spot on the soil of Iran after Mashhad in Khorasan, where her brother, Imam Reza, peace upon him, reposes in eternal peace, and hence a site of pilgrimage for not just Iranians, but for the followers of the Ahlul Bayt from all over the world. Before we present you a special feature in this regard, here is a passage of ziyarat, or standard form of salutation, prescribed for her immaculate ancestress, the noblest lady of all time, the Prophet's daughter, Hazrat Fatimah al-Zahra, peace upon her. Peace upon you, O the carefully examined, tried and measured by him who created you. O found you in your test, cool and compact, steady and stable. I tell the truth about you, calm and quiet. With self-control and composure, you put up with all that which your father and his wasi came across. Blessings of Allah be upon them. Indeed, Fatima Masume, peace upon her, was a worthy descendant of Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace upon her, the infallible mother of the leaders of the youth of paradise, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, peace upon them. She spent the first 6 years of her life with her father, who was often subjected to bouts of imprisonment by the Abbasid regime. He instilled in her knowledge and virtues to such an extent that, at a tender age of 6 years, she was able to answer complicated jurisprudential questions. An example of her knowledge and outstanding merits is the famous incident when her father remarked, Fedaha Buha, which means, may her father be her sacrifice. It happened that a group of pilgrims from Iran had called at the threshold of Ahlul Bayt in Medina for answers to their queries, unaware that Imam Musa Kazem, peace upon him, was away on a journey. They were, however, not sent away empty-handed, for an attendant asked for their papers, saying the seventh Imam's little daughter could provide the answers. To their surprise, the replies which they received from the little girl were not just satisfactory, but beyond whatever they could comprehend. During their return journey to Iran, they happened to meet the seventh Imam, and when they showed him the answers given by his little daughter, he confirmed these facts with a smile on his face, an expression of gratitude to God Almighty for having blessed him with such a virtuous daughter. Fatima Masume, peace upon her, is also the source of several narrations from the Imams and her ancestor, the Prophet, and is often called Aleme, or Most Learned Lady. For this reason, she was respected in her lifetime and continues to be revered to this day with pilgrims to her holy shrine, reciting, O Fatima, intercede for me for the reward of paradise, for indeed you have with Allah a lofty status. She was only 10 years old when her father, Imam Kazem, peace upon him, was martyred in Baghdad in the prison of the tyrant Harun al-Rashid through a dose of fatal poison. Therefore, she grew under the care of her dear brother, Imam Reza, peace upon him, and years later, when he was forced to leave Medina and taken to distant Khorasan to the court of the crafty Caliph Ma'mun in the city of Marv, in what is currently the Republic of Turkmenistan, the faithful sister decided to visit him. On the way near Save, a distance of some 120 kilometers from modern Tehran, her caravan was attacked by miscreants affiliated to the regime, as a result of which many of her entourage, including her brothers, attained martyrdom, while she suffered injuries. She turned towards Qom, where the followers of the Ahlul Bayt warmly received her. Here, following a brief sojourn of 17 days, her soul flew to the ethereal heaven, making Qom the stairway of paradise. Masume, peace upon her, who had remained unmarried throughout her 28-year life, since no man of her age was worthy of her immaculate hand, similar to the case of the Virgin Mary, has thus left a lasting legacy. She is known as Karimatul Ahlul Bayt, or the most munificent lady of the Prophet's household. Her nephew, Imam Jawad, peace upon him, has said, whoever visits her tomb aware of her status, paradise is the reward. Indeed, throughout the past millennium and two centuries, people have flocked to her shrine, including ulema, jurisprudents, and philosophers, such as the famous sage of the Safavid era, Sadruddin Shirazi, popularly known as Mullah Sadra, who has said that whenever he came across a complicated question, his visit to the shrine of Ma'sumeh would unravel the mysteries and enlighten his mind. No doubt, Qom is today the world center for the genuine teachings of Islam, and students from all over the globe come to this Iranian city to learn Islamic sciences in the shadows of the sprawling mausoleum of Hazrat Ma'sumeh, peace upon her. Since it is the will of Almighty Creator that the grave in Medina of the Prophet's daughter, the infallible Fatima al-Zahra, peace upon her, remain concealed till the reappearance of the Prophet's 12th and last successor, Imam Mahdi, peace upon him, and the dawn of the global government of peace, prosperity, and justice, it is Qom and the shrine of Fatima Masumeh, peace upon her, that bestows the same rewards on the pilgrims who are desirous of paying homage to the Prophet's daughter. Numerous miracles have taken place at the shrine of Hazrat Masumeh, and many persons have been cured of fatal diseases as confirmed by medics who earlier had lost hope in the health of the patients. These miraculous powers, coupled with the spiritual aura of the shrine, have made many non-Muslim visitors, including those from Europe, America, and Africa, embrace the truth of Islam. It is worth noting that the late prominent scholar and researcher, Grand Ayatollah Sayyid Shahabuddin Marashi, used to be the first person to perform the pilgrimage at the shrine of this noble lady every morning for 60 years. In the early hours of the day, when it was still dark, he would wait outside her shrine for the doors to be opened. Several hadith from the Prophet have also been narrated by Hazrat Ma'sumeh, peace upon her, through a chain of authorities whose credentials are beyond any question. No doubt, her grandfather, Imam Ja'far Sadiq, peace upon him, the sixth infallible heir of the Prophet, had predicted about her half a century before her birth and given tidings to the faithful about her resting place, Qom, where today an exclusive seminary for higher education function for ladies from Iran and abroad. Once again, we congratulate our dear listeners on the blessed birthday of Hazrat Ma'sumeh, peace upon her, which is celebrated as Daughter's Day in the Islamic Republic of Iran in order to instill the qualities of virtue, ethics, and good manners into the young female generation. It is also worth noting that beginning from the 1st of Dhulqa'dah till the 11th of Dhulqa'dah, which is the birth anniversary of Imam Reza, peace upon him, this period is celebrated as Dahiye Karamat, or 10 days of munificence, in honor of these two immaculate brother and sister. With us and this brief radio program, with a phrase from her ziyarat, which is self-explanatory. Peace upon you, O daughter of Musa, son of Ja'far. The mercy and blessing of Allah be upon you. Peace upon you, and may God ensure cognition between us and you in paradise. Raise us on the day of resurrection in your company. Bring us to your Prophet's fountain of Kothar, and quench our thirst through the goblet of your ancestor, by the hand of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace upon him.
ocean of dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم إني أسألك برحمتك التي وسعت كل شيء وبقوتك التي قهرت بها كل شيء وخضع لها كل شيء.
To listeners in the previous programs regarding the beginning part of this dua, Allahumma inni as'aluka birahmatika allati wasi'at kull shay, we talked about the remarkable uses of the plants. Prior to that, we also discussed the defensive system of the body, also the skin, the respiratory system, and the very creation of the human beings. And they are all the blessings that are embraced by the Almighty Allah's mercy, and so many other aspects of these mercies are yet unknown to us. Human beings using God-given intellect benefit from various kinds of vegetables, fruits, and seeds for preserving health, and they satisfy their hunger, enjoy life by the Almighty Allah's mercy, and these collections of foods are necessary for different elements of the body. So we need to thank Him for these blessings. Now that we talked about the plants, let's just change the focus into the animals and insects living in the world. No one knows the number of insects and animals that exist on land and in sea, or the birds and reptiles and the benefits of their existence, but their Creator knows everything, and His mercy has covered the appearance and hidden aspects of them. His mercy has brought about great uses for them. And human beings specifically benefit from all these creatures. For example, we have some insects that are doing the action of fertilizing the grounds. Fruit trees have both male organ and female organs. And if this element of one tree is not reached to the element of the same kind of tree, no fruit will be produced. For fertilizing some plants, Allah has made tiny insects whose duty is to carry these elements to the other kinds of the trees of the same kind. And interestingly, these small agents do not make errors. They do not, for example, take the seed or the element of an apple tree to a peach tree. No, this is out of the question. And even more interesting than that is that the trees pay the insects off with the sugar inherent in them. The insects receive the sugar and make the fruit for humans, but humans are yet ungrateful.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Oh Allah, bless Muhammad. his progeny. O Allah, I beseech you, by your mercy which encompasses everything, and by your power by which you overcome everything, and which submits to it everything, and humble before it is everything. And by your might, by which you conquer everything, and by your majesty, against which nothing can stand, and by your greatness, which prevails over everything, and by your authority, which is exercised over everything, and by your own self that shall endure forever after everything has vanished, and by your names which manifest your power over everything, and by your knowledge which pervades everything, and by the light of your face which illuminates everything. O he who is light, O he most holy, O he who is light,
scientists of the nature believe that everything in nature exists as per the requirements of its creature. And they are right, I assume. In case of the mammals, for example, there is enough milk in the female animal's breast for its child. But Almighty Allah's mercy has set the cows and sheep as exceptions to this general rule. So their milk is not only food for their young ones, but also as a surplus for the human beings. And this milk of cow and sheep, is a valuable food for the infants, even for children growing, or even grown-up human beings. The products of milk provide one of the most important needs of human body. Now, is Allah's blessings towards humans not evident? The Almighty, out of mercy, has presented these animals at the surface of human beings. The benefits of such animals are great, and their probable harms are very little. Humans use every organ and product of the sheep in a way, and the interesting point is that the food consumed by all the three types of sheep, which are raised separately for their wool, meat, and milk, is the same. This is the power of Allah. This is the power of the one who can transform one kind of food in the body of an animal into another kind. And this is for the sake of human beings. And he provides foods and clothes for the human beings, and yet some of the human beings are even ungrateful. The sheep is only a minute part of kulla shay that we say, Allahumma inni as'aluka birahmatika allati wasa'at kulla shay. And they are all developed by the Almighty Allah's mercy. Numerous books are required to fully describe all the blessings that Allah has bestowed on this animal. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this program. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
From the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
You're listening to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio with Shiraz Hossein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, The Key, here at IRIB English Radio. I'm your host, Shiraz Agha. Thank you for joining us here today. If you remember, we've been speaking about justice, the meaning of justice, and the different categories of justice. One of the categories of justice is judicial justice. It's necessary to clarify the meaning of this term. What do we mean when we say judicial justice or penal justice? The answer to this question is simple. It means that God Almighty or any other being who is just in the sense of the term does not equate